Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already. No better way to get it kicked off than with Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. Let's go down and check him out. Cliff, what's up, man?
All right, Mickey. Well, if you could see me, I'd have a paper bag over my head. You know, like those comedians do.
The unknown comic.
Yeah, I was unknown guy this week. God, what a hammer I got, man. So I fished one day. I fished last Sunday, and I had this guy, Randy, come down and with three of his buddies and just really good guys, really good fishermen. And we just, man, the fishing was so tough. It's just unbelievable. You know, we got dirty water, and these fish are eating those glass minnows, and, man, is it a hard bite.
Yeah.
You know, we covered, I think, over 150 miles by water.
Wow.
You know, got back in around 5 o'clock, you know. Just grinding. These guys just never quit. They never whined. All they did was grind, and it was just – couldn't ask for better fishermen, just didn't have a good guide. You know, they'd have done a lot better. But
no,
that was
they
the
had
only
a good guide. They just had, they were just on an off bite, man. Bad conditions.
It was an off bite last week, you know, and I felt better after I talked to Jay. You know, I talked to Watkins and stuff, and he said, man, we had three people, and I caught one, and one of my guys caught one, and my guy zero. He said, we didn't catch any fish that day. And
dang.
I talked to my guys, and you know, scouting for that tournament down in South Padre. They said, man, I've been down there 2 or 3 days, caught 2 or 3 fish. They're really on the glass minnows, and it's a hard bite right at dark. They're jumping out of water. And we're not catching them anyway. So they finally started picking up a bite. I think it's finally getting back on the backside of that glass minnow. But, man, this time of year can be tough, and especially you had that brown tide. We were not expecting this brown tide. That just come up, and that was a real surprise. But, you know,
and how much territory is that messing up for you?
Well, this is what happened. So it covered the entire Bay Alazan, 9-mile hole, land cut. Then it got into Gladys's all the way into south. Then it turned back around the southeast wind and stuff back this way. So they got some clear water south. But it's just trashed me almost to the bridge now. And now that I've had a little, if we get a little more push in the Gulf, it'll push that clear water in. And I'll have a northern flow of clear water for about 6 or 7 miles. And that's what I'm hoping. And then if we get that, what you hadn't had, that 2 weeks of solid southeast wind, I'll get some of that beautiful Mansfield water here, but right now we're stagnant. You know, I'm fighting for what I got. I know the fish are there, Mickey. It just drives you crazy. You know, they're there, and you just cannot. And when you catch one, those little minnows just pour out of their stomach, and they stink. Their breast just stinks. You know, they're just they smell terrible. You know, a lot of people were asking me why these fish stink. You know, I said, man, I think it's the anchovy, you know, shad and the glass minnows in their gut.
Yeah,
smell so bad. But. Definitely had better weeks. I canceled the rest of the week with so much wind. We canceled, and I'm going to try to fish Monday. And I warned the guys, look, man, I know it's going to be better, but it's still going to be a tough bite for a while.
Right.
So, they're there, Mickey. They hadn't gone anywhere. It's just, man, they open their mouth. It's like a whale. They suck in those little bitty, you know, like krill. They suck in those little things.
You know, people don't understand that. When you got an overprevalence bait like that, you know, we get it up here with the glass minnow thing and all the shad hatches, and it just, man, your bite window is just, it's minute.
Yeah, I know it. Well, it's kind of like you've been feeding them steak for like 6 weeks. Everybody ate steak.
Yeah, and then
steak,
you switch
steak,
them over to bologna.
Yeah, something switched over, something different. They got some boiled shrimp in some. Everybody's eating boiled shrimp right now. It's all good. I'm just, I was embarrassed that day, Sunday. Those guys were so nice. It fished so hard for me, you know, and just nothing I could do. I felt good, though, when I came in and started talking to everybody else, you know, all up down the coast. That whole 3 or 4 days was really shut down. And now down south, you know, I talked to a lot of those guys in those tournaments are my friends. And they're, man, I really good fishermen. God, some good fishermen.
They caught some big fish yesterday. Golly.
Yes, they did. And they finally, but pre-fishing, they were having a hard time. Man, it was
they were struggling,
finally,
huh?
Yeah, finally we got a little bite going, but a lot of teams zeroed. A lot of teams had 10 pounds, 12 pounds, you know. So if it wouldn't have been the glass minnow bite, I think you'd have seen some 30-pound stringers, I swear. You know, I don't know if it's that big, but it's amazing how many big fish are in there down south. But it's just conditions, Mickey, that are hurting us.
Right.
Yeah. It's all good. It's going to – we have nowhere to go but up. I know this week's going to be better than last week. But and you know, it's just –
Well, I know it's tough when I can look on this list and, you know, Simmons, Lloyd, and Culpepper had 937. That's they didn't get them. That's tough. I mean, a lot of good fishermen.
A lot of good fishermen.
Boy, and Blackwell boys, they're always up and running, man. They didn't have their best today, but with their red, they ended up with 21.40. They only had 14 pounds of trout. But
I was talking to them before the deal, and then they were struggling, you know. So finally they got their fish to bite. They were on them. They couldn't get them to eat. And so evidently they found something they'll eat. But, man, it's almost like a reaction hit when you got those glass minnows. It's hard to downsize enough to get them, you know. Man. I fished with our buddy Bob yesterday in the surf, and, man, he's awesome. So we're fishing this little cove in the surf, and I look down. There's two giant fish laying in the sand. I go, God, look at those fish. They had to be 50-pound drum. I finally got close. I thought they were sharks or something. I go, man, look at those fish laying there. Two giant drum laying up on the sand. I couldn't believe it, man. Those side fins are like 3 foot long. They look like on both sides. It's huge, you know, just giant.
Big old.
But I don't know what they were doing in there. You know, I thought there were a bunch of sharks laying in there. But yeah, big old melon-headed drum. But, you know, catching a few fish in the surf, but not many yet. Most of the stuff that they're catching the surf is around the rocks.
Right. You know. Structure related.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did y'all have any good surf down there this week when that front hit?
Oh, my God. I surfed yesterday, but I missed a good day. 2 days ago, they had some really good surf.
Yeah, all the guys up here were going nuts, man. There were surfers everywhere, I heard. They were living the dream, buddy.
We had some good surf here. Man, I saw some guys get some really good barrels. Golly. I didn't make that one, darn it. I mean, I'm breaking into just being able to get out now without a wetsuit because I'm not putting a wetsuit on. So just the water hit 70, so I skinned it yesterday, and I was able to, you know, get out there and in the water, but I really need about 2 or 3 more degrees on water temperature. I'd be a lot
happier. 70. That's man.
You know, but we need another probably 5 degrees in the surf to really get some fish going. You know, if it seems like it's always the end of April or beginning of May for our surf fishing really pops. I don't know about you guys.
May's more our deal, you know.
Okay.
Mid-May, and, you know, if you can get it to lay down, that's the problem. You know, we've had such windy Mays the last few years. We're due a calm May. Golly.
Yeah, I always said that. It seems like if they move it back, like March is April now and April's May. It's just kind of like everything's moved back since the last 25, 30 years, you know. We used to be through with all this stuff by May, and May used to be just to be the most beautiful month. You know, normally it's not too bad. But May's much more consistent. That's one of my most consistent months, May and June, for being able to fish, you know, where you should be able to fish and not have to jump all over because of the wind. It's normally they get in a pattern. You can get on.
Well, we're going to have a southerly flow for quite a few days now with no front. So maybe Maybe that'll push your brown water around or something, you know.
Whatever, do something relief. With it.
Yeah.
All right. But it'll save those big fish, though. That's what's going to happen.
Do you think big fronts we've been getting with these big blows and then really sucking all this water out, that's what's causing that brown water to get everywhere?
Well, you know, it's like a baby powder. It's real thin. I think it's all over the bottom, all over our system. It just stays there. Just like that dredge stirred it up and just deposit all over the bay. And I'm thinking these low tides and high winds stir it up. And when it calms down, it kind of filters out and lays on the bottom. We get clear water. But that stuff is real fine, like baby powder. It doesn't take much to stir it up. But I think a lot of it's dead, you know, dead brown tide that's just laying in our system.
Right.
But who knows? They don't, you know, just now the parks and wildlife just now telling me, yeah, we got a brown tide. You know, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for 3 weeks or four or a month, you know.
Tell me where it's coming from and when it's going to go away and what we need to get rid of it. So I think it's going to be a little low in the Gulf or something to push a bunch of Gulf water in to push it away.
Yeah.
But that's what Packery has helped us. We got a lot more flow. So when we do get some in the Gulf, you cannot believe the amount of current we have along our shorelines now compared to what we had 10, 15 years ago. Unbelievable difference. So we'll see what happens. It'll get better, you know. Every year is a surprise, you know. I was thinking after last year's smackdown and this time of year, I was just hosing them, you know, top water. And here we go, you know, throw some brown tide in on me. We'll see, you know.
Right.
I'm used to the glass mental thing. The glass mental happens, you know. I know it's happened to you. It's happened to me before where you get a 2 week shutdown on those glass minnows and you can't do nothing about it, you know.
Crazy. Boy, I tell you, those fish will light off right at dark. You know, that's.
No, they do.
Back when we've had those big glass many years, I mean, you can fish yourself till you're blue in the face all day, watch you follow ups and swirl outs and all that. And man, about an hour before dark, it just starts clicking. Trout jumping out of the water, feeding on them. And
that's
buddy,
yes.
Better get a lure in there because, man, it's on like a neck bone. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back, buddy. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. We're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke, 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with the oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display, different size bottles, all their regulators and diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. And if you need more info on it, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their great seafood prices and availability. Whether you're looking for the big 9-12-count, you know, wild-caught Gulf shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's, any size shrimp you want, great prices, good availability. And their Cajun Grill next door, they turn out some really good food there, and you can go to their website for making your crawfish orders in advance. That's boydsonestop.com. Call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 618 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
Reminds me of the old 8-track days, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
Hey, I was saying
we lived
that.
Large back then, didn't we? I mean, it didn't take a lot of money to do anything, and, man, it was just – you were so free.
I remember the 8-track tapes. Yeah. Yeah, it was good stuff. All down the highway, where they'd get mad and they'd stick and they'd throw them out the window.
Yeah, they'd jerk all that tape out of their tape player and just throw the whole cassette, you know, the whole 8-track out the window, man.
Yeah, we were a trashy generation back then. It was terrible. Out the window. Yeah, God almighty, but that was good stuff. But, yeah, Mickey's just, you know, I look back. So I was sitting there all week not doing nothing, tiny dudes and stuff, and just kind of going over all the records of April and March. God almighty. It seems like I'm 2 weeks back. I'm 2 weeks farther back than we should be. You know, it's just like it's crazy how that last minute thing normally starts that last week of March, you know, right there. Then we're just like a little bit late on it, and I think they're getting through with it, hopefully.
Yeah, but usually it's the first couple of weeks of April or to, you know, into the third week of April, you know, the way I experienced it here. And then after it's over, the bite is on like crazy.
That's what's going to happen. And we got these little bitty shrimp about the size of your fingernail jumping out of the water. Every time you wade, they're just all around your feet. And they got to be eating a lot of those. I think the redfish are eating those. And we got these little bitty dime-sized crabs swimming on top of the water. It's like, you know, what do they want to eat? They got it all.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely going to clear up. But, you know, if it wasn't the water factor. So what happens with me in the water? I fish a lot of structured rocks and stuff. We need something to throw at, Mickey. You know, there's a lot of just solid grass. Well, you know, it's hard to catch fish in solid grass. You got to have a pothole. You got to have a rock. You got to have something for them to stage on, you know. And so the brown tide takes away all my targets. And so we do more of what I call a sweeping deal where you can do it two ways. You can put a Mansfield mauler on a cork and take four guys and sweep the shoreline drift and pop the corks. Or you can get out wade and everybody put on topwater sea dog. And then once one of the guys locate the fish, hone in on that spot. Because they're little pods of fish. But the most thing I see that people do wrong is way too fast in the brown tide. Because, man, they don't give them a chance to locate your bait. You got to give them a little more time to figure out what's going on. Their antennas are up, but they're not feeling it 20 feet. They're feeling it like 5 or 6 feet.
Well, they're not having that hunting visibility where they can track stuff down.
Exactly. But the bite is very aggressive in the darker water. I like that bite in the dirty water. When they do locate it, they are plenty mad at it. You know, that's what I do like about it. You know, and if you do miss that fish, they don't go far. The reason they don't go far because they don't spook out. They don't see you. They don't sense you. So they may run over there 10 or 15 feet, make a circle, and turn around. They're right there. So just stand there and keep throwing, or you may have to switch lures. But, that first time that brown tide came in 1990, it just threw us for a loop. You know, I became Captain Bobber, you know. It was just like, I put on a cork.
Get out the clicker corks, man, the maulers and all that stuff. You know, slow it down, make noise.
That's it, you know. But I don't think this stuff's here to stay. You know, it's just, that's just the time it hit. Now, if this would have hit in August or July and August, It may have stayed around a little longer until we got a hurricane. But what's going to happen right now, we're getting ready to get some big tides from the Gulf. And it's going to move this stuff around. So I'm thinking it's not going to stay. And if it does, it's going to save a lot of my big fish. Because Sunday, I saw two boats in the bay on Sunday. I never fish weekend. And this guy, I couldn't fish any other time. And I really wanted to fish with Randy, so I fished Sunday. You know, just by talking to him, I wanted to fish with him. And I was right. He's a super good guy. But, you know, normally on Sunday there's 50 boats in Bath and there's one or two. So that just goes to show you.
That just tells you all you need to know right there.
And so a lot of the guys are moving north, you know, Corpus Christi Bay, Shamrock Cove and stuff like that. And then I was thinking about the same thing. Then I talked to Mr. Watkins. Jay said, man, we got the same thing going on here with the glass minnows. Our bite shut down right now.
Is he back in Rockport now?
He's back in Rockport now, and he said he had a hard day. Call him, and I finally got to call him back. And I think he's going to go back to Mansfield in August, going to pull a trailer down there and stay in Mansfield in August, what he's talking about doing.
Really?
His Rockport fishing was pretty bad. So he's going to go back down to Mansfield and get a few people, try to catch some big ones down there in August. People don't realize August, you know, July and August, I love it for sight casting. If you're a true, you know, if you can get up shallow and spend all day chasing fish, that's really a neat time of the year.
Well, you know, I had some, you know, back in the day when I'd go down and fish with Captain Bob, Blaine and I, August was a really good month down there. We caught some big fish in August, you know, at Mansfield.
Yes. My longest fish was caught in August.
Around the saucers and all that, and, you know, stuff off the, you know, the edge of the intercoastal wading that, and, man, we had some great days.
Oh, I know. I caught one in August. I'd give anything to caught that fish in February. You know, that fish
one of the longest trout I've ever caught, I caught in Baffin in August. They're close to the tide gauge bar.
I remember that story. I remember that when you caught
that. We were pre-fishing for that IMS tournament, and I caught it, but it only weighed 7.12. Man, it had a big old loggerhead on it and a huge tail and just a snake body, man. I was so disappointed.
How long was it?
I'd like to have him during that tournament. It was 32 and a half inches.
What a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fish weigh over 10 pounds normally.
Caught it on a Bagley finger mullet, throwing out as far as I could. You know, I was about chest deep water.
Bagley finger mullet was something. You know, they made that one little Bagley finger mullet with a little prop in the end of it. Remember that one had a little prop on it?
I remember that one, yeah.
Oh, my God, Doug, and I would hose them on that thing in the lane.
Hey, you know another good bait with the props on it? Remember the boy Howdy that Smithwick, made it? Hey,
yes,
Trout used to lace that thing out. I remember James, I think he won the Gads Cup one year, and they were throwing boy Howdies.
Another one's tiny torpedoes. And, you know, I think that Vincent, probably in this glass minnow smackdown we got now, maybe those prop baits have worked bad. But what I've got now, I've got this little slimy grass on top, little needle grass. And it props up. You know, it just – my top waters, you know. And so I refuse to put those single hooks on my top water because I've just seen so many fish lost on them. I just can't do it. So I'm working 10 or 15 feet, reeling them to take the grass off. But, man, I had a deal last 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we're in some big fish, and all the guys been fishing Mansfield, and they put those straight hooks on, which is great and everything. But, man, we lost 3 out of 5 fish.
Oh, yeah, you're going to lose over half of what you hook.
Yeah. I mean, if you got to, you got to. But, you know, I want that treble hook if I can on top of it.
I'm with you, man. When I'm throwing hard baits like that, I want my treble hook.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see totally agree with that thoroughly.
Yeah, I see where they have a purpose in a really, really heavy grass. But so tell me what you're throwing on glass minnow patterns. What's your go-to, Mickey?
You know, what always worked better on a glass minnow pattern for me was the 7M mirror lure, the floating mirror lure. It's the same size as, you know, like the 51M or 52, but it's a floater, and you can jig it down. You can get it to go down about a foot and then stop it and do all that erratic stuff with it. And you can actually even slow it down and just barely reel it and just twitch it. It just depends on what mood the fish are in. And I've done real well with that. And I'll tell you another thing that I know it's I think when we did so good with the chrome and blue or chrome and black red fins is because there were so many needle gar in with the glass minnows. You know, the needle gar were eating them too. And even some of the bigger trout, they were going after the needle gar, and that straight back would weed those big fish out of those glass minnows like that.
Yeah, and that mirror minnow,
that little skinny thing. I'm seeing, and back when we were doing that a lot this time of year, we didn't have that mirror minnow then.
That's what Bob's catching them on right now. That's all he's throwing.
Right.
You know, he's throwing on that big old giant bait, that swim bait, back when it's cold. Now they're on glass minnows. Bob's throwing that little mirror minnow. Even in the surf, that little thing, and they're hosing it. He's, you know, he fishes around the bays. He walks in the bays, but he's had that tied on for a couple of weeks now. So I got to explore that bait. You know, it's just, and I think James was talking last week about one guy catching him on that bait. But it's funny how you get stuck on things, and you got all these these other tools you don't use, you know, because you're quarantined, you stay on something. But
I know
I got to scratch through the box. I got to scratch through the box and find some new toys that make my fish eat.
You know? Well, you know, in every good fishing trip, if you got any kind of memory at all, I got, and that I'm blessed with a really good memory. And you always remember those trips, what lure you were throwing every single time. I mean, every big stringer you've had, big bites and all that, you always remember that, even if it's 30 or 40 years ago.
And yeah, that's so true.
And that's a problem we got nowadays. We have too many options. I mean, think about all the lures we have now, and different ways and presentations and techniques, everything we can use to target big fish. And it's just, it's mind boggling.
Yeah.
And I liked it back when all we had was this or that and not much in between. And we just had to stick with it, and it always worked. But we had a lot more fish then too, you know.
I'm bad about my confidence baits. You know, I throw those confident baits, and it tells one of my clients, show me something that he's throwing that's catching them better. I'm going to stay on my confidence bait because that's what I've been using. And I got all these great baits just sitting there not being used. I feel guilty about it. So this year I said, man, I'm going to start trying to venture out and use some new stuff. Man, there's so much good stuff out right now. God,
I know.
Yeah. I'll be glad we get off this glass minnow pattern. Man. Mm.
Yeah, it'll drive you to drinking, buddy. That's
yeah.
You know, we fought that for years. But, you know, you're afraid to say, well, meet me at the dock at 2 and we'll go out and wade fish till dark. You're afraid that the bite's going to, you know, you're going to miss that one day when you got an early bite or whatever. You just have to marathon it, just daylight till dark.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to have to happen here. So I think I pulled out a 5. I probably should have kept on fishing. But, you know, we were those guys.
Man, I don't know whether I can still – I can stay in the water and grind all day from daylight till dark anymore like I used to. I just – man, it's hell to get old.
They'd pop out. We'd do 10 different places. They'd pop out, catch 2 or 3, pop out, catch 1, you know. Just like, okay, this is a good spot, bait everywhere, you know, mullet flipping and nothing. Like, what? But another thing about walking in these rocks, you fall down on the rock. So normally you can see a little shadow in front of you, the rock, to walk around. And now you kind of kick your feet out in front of you until you feel the rock, then shuffle around it.
Yeah, you got to shuffle around and just slow down.
And you're making a lot more noise, too. You got to be careful because you're crunching the rock. So when it's clear, I can kind of tiptoe around the rocks and kind of still see in there. But when it's brown tide, time you fall down a couple of times, you kind of bone your fish out of there, you know. But you know, I try not to fall down, but it's getting harder every year.
Boy, I had a day about, I don't know, it's 3 or 4 years ago, man. I finally got on the fish like around 3 in the afternoon, and I'm so far from the dock, it ain't even funny. And it's cold, and it's windy, and finally, I told my guys, I said, all right, I'm going to go back and get the boat. I'll come pick y'all up, and we'll head home. Well, I'm cruising back to the boat. You know how you put your old rod over your shoulders with your hands up? Oh, and you're just strolling along. Oh, boy. I kicked a tire, you know, a tire that was laying on the bottom. I went in head first, rod and reel it. Hey, then after I stand up, I got to go back in and crawl around on the bottom. My waders are full. I'm freezing to death. And finally found my rod and reel. So I get back to the boat. I don't have an extra change of clothes. So I take my waders off, dump all the water out, and immediately put them back on. I was freezing. And then that 35-mile boat ride back home. Oh, man, what a miserable day.
Oh, that'll make you remember that one.
Made it the whole day without getting wet, because a lot of the fish we were catching, we'd have to go out deep to the top of your waders, and you're staying dry and warm and, boy, and then going back to the boat, and then, I mean, I did a Greg Louganis, man.
The long boat ride home. You know, I did that with Jay Watkins. The first time I fished the first tournament with Jay, when we had that 55 pounds. So I am so pumped up. I mean, just imagine me at 30. I mean, I was pumped at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I get out and I know these big fish are in here. I know we're going to hose them.
Right.
So Jay's just calm as he can be, you know, he's calm. I'm jumping out of the boat, you know, I pile out of the boat and I said, Jay, these fish are right behind these big rocks, you know, and I walk over there and I fall over that big rock. I'm getting ready to go around. I ripped my waders. I ripped my waders from the crotch all the way to the heel. It's like daylight. It's freezing. I don't even tell Jay I ripped my waders. But Jay goes, well, you didn't get your reel wet. So I did all that falling and kept that left hand up, Bubba. That reel never got wet. So it's like amazing, you know. So, you know, we just hoed. I mean, we were done. So if we were done by 9 o'clock, we're culling 29-inch fish. I mean, it's just a joke, you know. And I'm just, you know, I'm not even cold. I'm so excited, you know. And we're back at the dock waiting on Snoopy's to open at 11 o'clock to get a shrimp sandwich. And I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting there ripped one into the other. You know, I had to get the wife to bring me some more waders. But, you know, that's my first, what was my first tournament ever with Jay. And I'll fall down the first 15 minutes to rip my waders. You know, he was so impressed. You know, he goes, what am I doing with this cloud, man?
Man, this guy's an animal waiting in this soaking wet like that.
And those were neoprene waders. You know, you got to fall pretty hard to rip neoprene waders.
Yeah. Exactly. Boy, you get back to the boat and you pull your waders off and everything. You look down and your feet are blue and purple. That's cold, man.
I know. What a man won't do to catch a stupid speckled trout, right? God almighty.
We've done some stupid stuff to catch fish.
I mean, it just all the time, you know.
Had some mind-blowing experiences. Jeez.
Yes, sir. And it's got a little more to come, I hope. I hope I'm not done yet. I hope I have a few more, you know, bloopers in my lifetime. That means I'm still doing it, you know.
We've entered that fourth quarter stage, so, you know, clock's ticking on us. Just hope I can put off that 2-minute warning for a while. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Well, you know, folks, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. They're located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And you're talking smoked sausage samples. They're always available. You can try it before you buy it, see which blend you like, and a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their ground beef special, $3.59 a pound in 10-pound bulk packs. And if you want a quarter or half calf processed, that's available. You can pre-order and have it custom processed. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. Whether you're killing exotics or wild pigs or whatever, try their Vinny dogs and hog dogs. You can have homemade hot dogs made out of your venison or wild pigs. They're really good. Nothing like it. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 640 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back. How about some of that old stuff?
I like it, yeah. Hey, Doug just sent me a text and said that he used to hose them on a boon
needlefish. He texted me the same thing. I don't even know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't either. You got to send boon, me a picture of it, Doug.
Boon, they were the original soft plastic way back in the day, like a boon tout. They called a shrimp tail a tout, T-O-U-T. Remember those?
I remember that.
Remember the old
It came
boon
in a package
tout?
And had one extra with it. You had a lead head and a tout, and it came with one extra.
There
one
you
extra
go. It came in a two-pack. Now two everybody pack. Buys
man,
100 packs.
Yeah. Before Roy's was Roy's, it was Max. It was a little bitty bait stand called Max. That's
right.
Robert Roy's was. And they sold the first house. They sold that and the flounder pounder. They had a pack. For $5, you get a two touts and a flounder pounder for $5. That was a special they had. And man, it was a great deal.
You know? Trout fisherman survival kit.
That's it, buddy. You throw a broken back or a straight fin in there, you had it.
Yeah. Yep.
And it makes sense because a lot of needle gar eat those glass minnows, and those, you know, trout love needle gar. I remember the guy that fishes a surf bob one day telling me this great story where he's walking down the surf, can't get a bite, you know, and a little needle gar swims by and he slaps it with his rod and stuns it and puts it on his hook and catches about an 8-pound trout. So that was pretty cool, man. Yeah. You know, it's just how they swim on top of the surf. He just popped it with his rod, reached over there and put it on a hook and threw it in front of a trout and he ate it. He goes, hey, man, they do like them. You know, so that's pretty cool.
I tell you, probably the fishery on the whole coast that trout, those big trout would eat needle gar like crazy was over at Sabine Lake. And you talk about stink. Those trout smelled raunchy.
Well, maybe that's what's going on with their breath right now because, you know, everybody was talking about
it. If they're eating needle gar, you don't even want to eat that fish because it taints the meat. I mean, I've tried it. I said, man, these trout aren't fit to eat. They taste like needle gar. They're nasty.
That's funny you said that, man, because I've been hearing everybody talking up and down the coast. Even Jay said, man, these fish stink. You know, when you
only eat needle gar, man.
Needle gar or those anchovy shad. The only thing they can figure to make them stink that bad. And I know you know that smell. The breath's just horrible.
Well, you are what you eat.
Yeah, I guess that needle gar thing, but. Man, I would like to know what pike. I wish man, get Doug to send me a picture of that.
He's come up with one. I thought I'd thrown everything. I never threw a Boone needlefish.
Uh huh. I need to look it up, but you know that's something that little Miro minnow looks like. It's got a lot of flash to it, and I think that little silver flash. You kick it down like a jerkbait in front of those little pods of anchovy minnows and glass minnows. I think that's the key. You're getting that flash and then striking the flash. You know, I think you reel in there, you pop it down a couple times, the flash, it sends out the flash. I think they'll hit the flash. But our problem is you deal with water that's so dirty, you know, you don't get the transparent flash through the water. You just don't get that your movement. And then you go to noise. Well, they're not really hitting the noise. You know, they're hitting the minnow. So it's kind of a hard bite right now. I don't care what you're doing. The glass minnow bite. The way it sounds now, everybody's starting to catch fish again. I think we've probably got another week or more. Like Doug says, after the 15th, we'll kick in gear.
All right, I'm looking at it here on Amazon. I Googled it. Boone needlefish, 2-ounce jigs, Blue Mac, 5-inch, $11.75 for one. It's a. It kind of reminds me of the old pencil poppers. Remember them topwaters that. But it's got a needle head on it. It's got a big old eye like a needle gar with a eye in the nose of it. And then it's got one big treble hook on the tail end of it where it just kind of broadens and then tapers off at the end.
Let's try that. And do they make a small one?
All these I'm seeing are, here's a 6.5-inch one. It's a 4-ounce jig, chrome, 6.5-inch.
I'm going to get the surf, too. They love those needle gar.
You can get that big one on Amazon Prime for $4.77. The smaller ones are $11.75.
Hey, Bob handed me a bait yesterday that cost $82.
Oh, one of those swim baits like the bass fishermen are throwing?
$82. He bought
How about breaking that off on the rocks?
I'm thinking that would be the first time I throw in those herb, a black tip is going to eat it. I know it. You know, so I'm going to throw it hopefully in the bay when there's not any skipjack or jackfish or anything and try to catch a monster on it.
Here's what they're probably eating. Berkeley Power Bait floating mice tails. $4.99. Yeah. Mice tails.
Mouse tail off.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. That's –
You know, in the old days, you think about Muckroy and all those guys that fished with, all they had was silver and gold spoons. You know they're throwing all silver spoons right now on these trout. You know, why we don't throw that, I don't know. You know, I've tried it, and I catch little bitty trout. You know, I tried to downsize to a real small silver spoon, and I end up catching those little 14, 18-inch trout.
Well, the hardware days, I mean, that was it back then growing up. That's all we had. We had, you know, like bingos and plug-in shorties and Florida shiners. That was a balsa wood bait that I can't tell you how many big trout were caught on those back when I was a kid. Man, all the old pros I fished with, they were, man, they had those Florida shiners. And but you had that, and then, you know, then the mirror lure and all your spoons, and it just, we didn't have any soft plastics other than, you know, that
The soft, remember that shifty shiner, the shifty shiner?
Yeah, that was Cordell awesome. Made that. That's still a good bait. Cordell. You can still catch fish still on that shifty shiner.
Yes, really
I've
bait.
Got some orange and chartreuse were my two favorites in that bait, and that was a big-time Upper Galveston Bay bait. You know, in the wintertime.
One guy here, that's all he throws all his life for 30 years. That's all he throws, Melvin Miller, and he's caught some big fish on.
Shifty shiner.
And it's funny how in the old days you take those shiners out and some of them work a lot better than the others. And it's just like all other baits.
They all ran different.
They all ran different, man. I've got a bunch of those still in the package. I hate to break them out, but I may have to. What a man won't do to catch fish.
Well,
Yeah,
Cliff, big time pro like you do, you just need to drag you a bait bucket with some Hop-O-Matic throwing a cork, man.
Hey, I've been there, done it. They work real good.
Yep.
I remember back in the popping cork shrimp days. Well, what's wrong with this? You know, they work really good. You know, I don't know. And, it's funny how you go through this stuff and a popping cork shrimp just catches the heck out of them. You know, that's what my son's doing right now. He's just taking the, you know, normal old tourist guys and go out there in the popping cork shrimp. They catch a smorgasbord of reds, trout, drum, sheephead. Everybody's happy, you know. He's not even throwing. I don't think he's even going to throw croakers or pinfish this year because with the way the trout limits are, why?
I mean, why bother, you know?
You're still going to get your three trout on popping cork and shrimp. You're under 20 inches. Sure. You're not going for the monsters anyway.
I never met a trout that turned down a live shrimp anyway, you know?
No. Exactly right. I tell everybody grizzly bears like
mice. Don't think
you
can't catch some giant fish on live shrimp. I mean, I used to watch guys do that at the pass, free shrimping under that bridge, you know, in the summertime. They'd get those big old hoppers, man, the biggest shrimp they could get. And split shot and free line. Smoke them big boys.
Remember those baskets of shrimp that the shrimpers would use? They have holes in them, and they dip them, and they pull a big basket of shrimp and dump it in the live well full of shrimp. Well, Doug would buy about a half a basket of those, like maybe 700 or 800 shrimp, and those big red hoppers. They were nothing. They were like a penny a piece back then, nothing.
Yeah.
And he set them in his live well. He set them in the live well inside that basket, big round live well, and he would pull up to this hole in the land where a barge ran aground. He'd take a dip net and start throwing all those shrimp in that hole for about 10
Chumming
minutes.
Chumming with them.
Everybody was just sitting there watching him. And all of a sudden, those shrimp start jumping out of the water, and all of a sudden, the fish were there. And they would just start wearing them out. And all Doug was doing was working the dip net, the power pliers, you know, and they stopped by and throwing a couple more hands of shrimp out there. But what was happening is those trout were chasing those shrimp around. They were popping underwater and stuff. There were so many of them. Once they start popping and you get that frenzy noise going, you're drawing every fish in the world in there. You know, so Doug didn't have to go anywhere. But that's the first time I saw anybody chum with live shrimp. I've never seen that, you know.
No, old V. Nash, man, one of the old-timers on Trinity Bay, he used to do that. And I'd see him coming. I said, boys, y'all better hurry up and catch some more because he's fixing to anchor up on this reef. And he's fixing to take them all away from us. And he'd pull up and slide in there and put his anchor out, and he'd start chumming, throwing live shrimp in the water. And here, he'll steal your fish, and he would. He'd throw a quart or two quarts of live bait over and just sit there and obliterate them. Chumming
with live
shrimp.
It's like someone throwing a loaf of bread up for the seagulls. You start throwing a loaf of bread up for the seagulls, you're probably, you know, the people around you are not going to have any birds. You got them all. That's exactly
what
it is. You know, it's the same thing, just like throwing bread to a seagull. But, you know, you can't afford to throw those shrimp when they're 25 cents a piece now. It's a little different game.
Yeah, they're running anywhere from $22 to $24 a quart over this way.
Are they really? Wow.
Yeah.
They used to, I think, $3 a quart back when we were kids. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I think a pint was $1.50 and a quart was $3.
Mm-hmm. Man. But you know what's missing in our system is all those push nets, Mickey. You know, all these shrimpers just
that
had this big square
frame. That
used
to be the thing back in the day. I knew had a push net.
And yeah, they just don't see that anymore. You know, just don't see it.
Nobody wants to work. They don't want to get in the water and push that thing.
I see all these push nets, these old push nets in people's garage, still got them. You know, that's just nuts.
Amazing.
And then you had the little ones you could drag behind the boat, the parking lot. I think remember those little seines that you could buy, but they were behind your boat.
Right.
And drag people drag their own Krogers and baits up. I don't know what happened to that, but people don't do that anymore. You know, I think people gotten lazy.
Yeah, it's instant gratification. Just costs a few more bucks.
In your bait tanks it's at home, do they sell live mullet?
Yeah, certain bait camps keep finger mullet. Yeah, they do. They keep finger mullet.
I don't know what happened here. They were doing that, and they quit carrying any kind of mullet. It's all mud minnows and perch. And those flounder fishermen used to really love those finger mullet. Man,
oh,
the red fishermen.
Same here.
They quit selling them here. I guess the pin perch and stuff has taken over that. But that was a big deal. When I was a kid, it was just shrimp or mullet. That's pretty much what you had. Then somebody had some mud minnows. But we made our living first, just like you did when we first started guiding, you know, with the tourists in the summer with a popping cork and a shrimp. You know,
That's it. That's the way we fished the wells in Trinity Bay, man. I mean, I remember the first time when, you know, Kelly Wigglers came out and we were starting to get these really cool graphite rods and where you could fish lures really big time with them and all that. James and I, we didn't have a trip one day, and we had this one well out there in Seeley's called the Pipe Well. It was probably the best well ever. I think it was better than Amarada 1. We had those sugar wells, you know, that just always held big trout on them. And I'm heading straight to the pipe well, and I said, man, there's a boat on our well, James. And it was Blaine. He's already there, man. He's on the he's on the south end of it. And I said, well, hey, you know, tide's going out. I'm going to fish the north end. We slid in there real quiet, and I had a Kelly Wiggler on with a quarter-ounce jig head, and I threw it out and let it go down. I jigged it a couple of times. Boom, I got one about 5 pounds. Hey, James and I sat there. That's the first time I've ever taken fish away from somebody that was throwing live bait. Those fish went crazy over soft plastics. James goes, I'm never throwing a cork again. And we didn't. We never threw another popping cork after that.
That's good stuff, you know. You know, Doug did something really cool. He started, so we really worked that drop-off a lot with the trolling motor and the land cut in this time of year when all those fish would come through Mansfield down that 20-mile stretch of land cut. The west shore was just loaded, those grass beds with trout, and we would pull the trolling motor off and throw towels and stuff in there. Then we'd get customers, we'd put popping cork and shrimp. Well, Doug got those three-way swivels, and he put about an 8-inch leader with a Kelly Wigger, then about a 12-inch leader with a live shrimp, and throw it up against the edge, and you feel the first thump. You set the hook and let it sit there a second, you get two fish at once. It was unbelievable because when they eat that shrimp, they'd be pulling that soft plastic around with them, and there's always a fish with them when you know, so that you get two at once.
Yeah.
And I remember how
double rigging under a popping cork. How about that?
Cool. You know, trying to get both those in the net. So you dig. You look at the tuna can. You get the big one first. You get the big one in the net. Then you try to roll him around to get the second one in the net. That was the days, you know.
Yep.
Oh,
netting two
crazy
fish at one time. We used to double rig under the birds when we'd commercial fish, you know, because back in the day, we sold a lot of fish. There was no limits then. And we would have to rig up with like 50-pound leader on those double rigs because the fish were so big under the birds.
Yeah.
And we'd use ugly sticks with like a 5500C Garcia, and we'd sling that big old mess out there and you'd set the hook on one, and then you'd just kind of hold it tight, and you'd feel the other one get on, set the hook again, and reel in two at a time. And you'd mash the barbs down. That way, when you flip them over the side, that's why we use ugly sticks, because they wouldn't break.
Yeah.
And you just shake them off in the floor and throw back out and grab two more.
That was a tuna boat, buddy. You're like a tuna boat. Remember those guys with long rods of tuna? Yeah, that was good stuff, wasn't it?
And then you'd go home, and you'd have to gut and gill all those and then take them to the buyer. And you made more money doing that than you did guiding fishing trips. Way more money selling your fish instead of, you know, running trips. I think back then, what was a full day guided trip? Like $175 or something?
Yeah. I remember Doug and I, we went way up to $200. Everybody goes, you could probably pay $200 to go fishing. And we'd run all the way to the land, cover 100 miles and fish till dark for $200 and just have a blast. So
we
can't believe people are paying. I can't believe people are going to pay me to go fishing, you know. But,
gasoline was 35, 40 cents a gallon, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Cliff. Well, that's good stuff, man. Always enjoy talking to you. You've been there and done that. Bought the T-shirt, pet the bear, of it.
Well, hopefully next time I have some fishing stories.
You will.
Thanks for having me on, Mickey.
The worm always turns, brother. Hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down, give them a number, man.
All right, AmeriCo 361-949-0707. Thanks, man.
All right, Cliff. Hey, have a good weekend. See you, buddy.
Well, buddy, right. Thanks.
All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.